Ini and welcome back to the newest installment of the Bull Time Investor. Once again, Corey Marlowe here with our co-host Adam Johnson. Hello, Adam.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. And Scott Hartman. Hello, Scotty.
Hi guys.
Today we have a very special guest joining us. This is a new advisor that has joined Financial Partners recently, Mr. Justin Powell. Scott, you want to give us a little bio of Justin
before we get started? Love to. Justin joined the industry in 2016 with Edward Jones Investments. He's been with LPL since 2021. He attended Western Carolina University and holds a Bachelor's of Science in Music with a concentration in jazz piano and a minor in business administration. Justin lives at Lake Junaluska, just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, with his wife, Tiffany, his daughter, Layla, and his son, Steven. When not helping his clients and volunteering, you can find him focused on his family, cooking with his award-winning barbecue team on stage or in the studio with one of his musical projects, attending concerts with his wife and their friends, and staying active and healthy through yoga, hikes, and jogs around the lake. Justin, welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here, guys. Justin.
Awesome, man. What? Yeah, well, obviously, welcome and welcome aboard. So for the listeners that, you know, might not know you yet, can you share a little bit about your kind of path into the wealth management field and what drew you to Financial Partners?
Yeah, sure. You know, if we go back to when I made that career change out of the music business, you know, we found out we were having some a baby, and we said, you know, well, maybe being on the road all the time, you know, playing in bands isn't the best way to be a present and loving husband and father. Not to say it can't be done, but I found the challenge, you know, maybe something I didn't want to make those sacrifices. So I started to pivot and lean back in on that business side of things. I was the manager of the band and ran the business side of it, and got a job at a local bank. You know, this is, gosh, going on 11, 12 years ago, just to kind of hit the reset button, get into a more of a 9-to-5 lifestyle. You know, I knew I'd have to be getting up early with that baby a lot and helping my wife. So it was through banking that I discovered, you know, a love for helping clients with their financial, you know, tasks and things of that nature. And then I noticed that the financial advisor in the office, you know, had a really flexible schedule. He kind of came and went as he pleased. And, you know, we were all sending him referrals. And I said, well, gosh, I wonder what he does in that office when he's in there. And so I started to look into it, and it really, really piqued my interest. And especially just the level at which you can go deep with clients into some really, really impactful things in their lives. And so about that time, a friend of mine mentioned that he had a friend that was doing a recruiting dinner, and I went. And, you know, at first, can't say that I was sold, but my friend came to me and said, hey, you know, you've got that thing we can't teach, which is, you know, this gift of gab, this being able to connect with people on a deeper level. He said, we can teach you stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, annuities, et cetera. I really think you'd be good at this. And so I took the leap and, you know, was with a firm that provides excellent training in how to get into this business and how to understand all the, you know, moving parts that we deal with clients. But, you know, after a while, I realized maybe it wasn't a place for a creative like myself. You know, there were ways I wanted to market myself, and there's, you know, I wanted to come to my clients more authentically about who I am so that I could attract, you know, clients that I would resonate with and that were ideal for me. And when I realized that path wasn't really available to me, I started to look at independence and as a financial advisor, and, you know, shopped around. I think I looked at about 6 different firms and found LPL to kind of provide the best of all worlds, right? So a large broker dealer, lots of resources, can get your clients money in and out of markets efficiently, provide great, you know, research and compliance oversight and all those things that, you know, maybe we don't want to do in our office so we can focus on the clients. Started with a firm there, you know, it ended up to be something where Corey and I had a conversation, and, you know, Corey, you and I go back further than our time at my time at LPL and with some mutual friends. And, you know, I was looking to make a change, but not necessarily outside of LPL. And so I reached out to Corey and we had a conversation. And the way Financial Partners approaches it with the established process and the bull-time formula and the marketing pieces and all the tools that are provided and all the time that you guys have spent in kind of refining all of this, it really stood out to me as a great place to kind of, you know, plant my flag and grow my practice.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, Justin. I'll kind of tee it off just with a fairly open-ended question, but I mean, what do you find most rewarding about working with families and business owners on their financial planning process?
Yeah. I was looking at the demographics of my book this morning, and a lot of my book is in that 40 to 50 year old range of business owners, right? I really gravitate to them because that's who we are at Financial Partners. We're business owners. We're independent advisors. We own our own practices. You know, we partner together to pool resources and tools and ideas. But in the end, you know, we're business owners. And so they've always just resonated with me. And I think it's what is the most exciting is after you've worked with a client for a while and you've put into practice a plan for them. And you're 5 years in and you can point back to where they started and where they are today based on the advice that we've given them. And of course they have to follow it, but if they followed that advice, it really is impactful, especially if there's enough resources for them to do the investing to say, okay, well, here's where you were, here's where you are. And it's because of the partnership between the two of us that we got here.
That's awesome.
So real quick, before we move any further, I got a pretty tough question here. How long did it take you to learn how to properly pronounce Lake Junaluska when you
say that? There's a lot of different, Native American First Nations names for areas. I'm in the Asheville, North Carolina area. So Smoky Mountains and Blue Ridge Mountains kind of, and Pisgah National Forest, where all that meets. And so it's the heart of the Cherokee people. And so you get all of these different names. But yeah, I got it pretty quick because listen to how people got it. But yes, it's Lake Junaluska. And Junaluska. There actually was never a real.
Sorry about butchering that.
That's okay. No, so it's an interesting story there. I encourage you to look it up online if you're curious as to where that name comes from. And it's kind of interesting. So
what, your background in music, what helped from your music background in your switch and your pursuit of getting into financial planning?
That's a great question. There's a lot of music majors in banking and finance, more than people might assume. And when you're a music major, you start at 7:30 or 8 a.m. day one in your major. And that class is the theory of music. And that's just the math of it all. I mean, what are the numbers? How can we apply numbers to the things we hear? And how can we structure that into a process to create a different style, right? So I always tell people like a portfolio is a lot like an orchestral piece of music, right? It's all these moving parts that have to work together in harmony, you know, for an end, you know, that we're trying to achieve, which is, so I think there's a lot of the same synapses in the brain that fire. And when you're talking about music, especially in composing, as to what we do. But then on the other side of that, the business itself, you got to learn to take no for an answer or like be able to handle rejection, I should say, in the music business. And I think that's given me something that, you know, we are business owners. We're out there trying to find clients, you know, especially in the beginning when you're just getting started, to be able to let that roll off and move on to the next one. Is something that the music business really helped me with. So.
Awesome.
Nice. So speaking of Asheville, I'm headed down to your neck of the woods on Monday. Financial Partners is a main sponsor for the Asheville Business Summit coming up this coming Monday and Tuesday. Can you give us a little snapshot of kind of what the event's all about, what the listeners can expect and the attendees?
Yeah, sure. So the Asheville Business Summit, I believe it's the fourth one they've done. You know, it's this one in particular. It's typically, you know, we bring a bunch of the area business owners together for networking. There's sponsors that, you know, are showcased, and we have keynote speakers and, you know, various different. It's a 3-day event, so there's a kickoff party, there's a VIP dinner the night before, and then the event itself runs from about 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. with speakers and, you know, chance to get together. This one in particular is really carries a lot of weight because we're coming out of and we're coming up on the year anniversary when Hurricane Helene came through our area and really did a lot of damage. And that's an understatement. We can talk a little bit more about that. But so this particular summit is a catalyst. And it's a place where, you know, entrepreneurs and innovators and change makers can gather to learn and grow and lead with purpose. But really focusing on, okay, where do we go from here and how do we create and embed resilience into our economy, into our spirit, into our culture, into our town, and into our systems? You know, we lost all communications. Asheville didn't have water for 52 days, so almost 2 months. Mm-hmm. You had a pretty good-sized city without running water. No internet. No phones. It was wild to experience and to be a part of. So I think this one in particular is very special in that we're all kind of coming together in this way to look towards the future.
And I know you're doing one of the keynote presentations, and you want to just kind of give them a preview, a teaser of kind of the topic and what you're covering.
Yeah, so mine, it's kind of the kickoff speech to kind of bring everybody into their seats and get kind of set the tone, right? And so the title of my talk is, you know, the intersection of crisis, healing, and business leadership. So we'll talk a little bit about what happened, right? We'll talk about some of the healing that needed to occur in the immediate aftermath and needs to occur going forward. And that can take the form of spiritual healing or healing our business community, and I'll talk a lot about how we can do that and how we can support each other in that. And then our role as business leaders in applying our resources, our time, our expertise to the nonprofits in the area who's honestly have just seen a lot of funding cut to them over the last year, and how it's our responsibility to step up and help lead us to a more resilient future in Asheville.
What's been the impact that the summit's had on the business community there in Asheville so far?
Yeah, so last year the summit drew in almost 400 business owners from the region, which was great. And when I can point to you know, partnerships that were born out. I think that's a big thing, right? There's a lot of new introductions and networking and partnerships. People finding ways to work together. For their clients, you know, there's people there that might do something that you want to outsource, you know, and you can find those people at these types of things. And but I think moreover, it's just community, right? It's getting together. It's that, okay, I'm a business owner, you're a business owner, let's chat about what our, you know, challenges are, what our success is. And then let's get some really good food for thought from these speakers, right? And often a great keynote speaker will help kind of pull away the blinders, right? And make you see something or give you some insight that, you know, I always look for like three things to take away, like from these events, or whether it's conference San Diego, or, you know, when we go up to, you know, meet in Chicago and in Crystal Lake and those types of things with Exemplar. I want three really key things that I can pull and apply when I get back. So I think it's good for that.
Awesome.
Is there any, I did kind of peruse over the agenda briefly, but are any specific sessions or speakers or networking events that are at the summit that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think, you know, so I say it right, I've got it pulled up. The speakers that come after me, where I'm talking about crisis healing and business leadership, are Jillian Bellinger and Angie Flynn McIver. They're going to give a talk from chaos to catalyst, turning uncertainty into strategic opportunity. So you're going to see this kind of through line of, okay, we've had this crisis where we've done the immediate aftermath, you know, things are up and running again. And so how do we turn all of this, how do we not let a crisis go to waste, right? You know, we've had this big change. And it's an opportunity to leverage maybe ideas that you had that maybe were on the shelf, all these different reasons why you haven't put them into practice. I can speak from experience, you know, that even in the nonprofits that I was working in, we were able to use that crisis as a catalyst to start to do some of the new projects that we had been talking about for a long time. So that's going to be great. And then hearing from some of the other local speakers, my business coach, Bill Gilliland, will talk about, looking at what's holding you back and learning how coaching reveals solutions faster than overthinking can. So again, pulling away blinders. So I'm excited to hear him speak. He's always really great. And there's a bunch of other great ones coming up. So.
Awesome. Speaking about nonprofits that you're involved with, mm-hmm. I know you're on the board at the Pearl Institute. Yeah. For those unfamiliar, can you just kind of, tell us about the mission and kind of how your heart led you to work with them and, how'd you get connected with them?
Yeah, the Pearl Institute, formerly the Pearl Psychedelic Institute, the focus there is doing research, training, and reducing the barriers to access to psychedelic medicine in a clinical setting, right? So to bring these medicines into the mainstream through deep scientific research and ethical approach to treatment of patients. The Pearl Institute had the honor of being one of only two sites treating complex PTSD with MDMA as part of the phase 3 clinical trials that wrapped about a year ago. Those trials were to bring MDMA into practice, right? So what makes that a novel treatment is the combination of the therapy with the medicine. We've never had anything like that. FDA has never approved anything where you go for a protocol of therapy and talk therapy, you take the medicine, and then you do a protocol of integration on the back end, which is really the important piece. This is all to say that what we found, and I'm going to use round numbers because I'm actually not a doctor. I sit on the board. But the way I understand that what the study showed was that about 80% of people saw a benefit. Right. So these are complex PTSD cases. As you think of a veteran who had his buddies killed next to him in battle, or a sexual abuse survival of the worst kind, people who had really lost the ability to function in society due to their trauma. Right.
Sure.
SSRIs are not working. A lot of these people were on a cocktail of different medications that just weren't really helping and often causing more problems than they were solving. They came to us, and on the other side of the treatments, 80% saw benefit, roughly 70% no longer qualified for a PTSD diagnosis. That's huge.
Yeah,
I say magical, right? And miraculous. Because when you think about the way SSRIs work, they're kind of a mask, a band-aid on a wound. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, you take an SSRI, you can function, right? You can get to work, you can get your job done. But it doesn't get at the heart of what's causing the anxiety and depression, and that is that trauma. And there's a lot of great information about how the brain processes trauma and how trauma inhibits the brain from being able to heal itself, right? And so our brains and our bodies, when you go and get a cut, when you get a cut and you go to the doctor and they stitch you up, they're not healing you. They're just keeping the infection, right? They clean it up, they keep the infection up. It's our bodies that heal themselves from the inside out. Well, our brains work that way as well, right? And it's called neuroplasticity, and it's the regrowing and growing of new neuro connections, right? So, and trauma inhibits the brain's ability to do that, right? What we're seeing with these medicines, whether it's ketamine, which is legal to use, or whether it's research around MDMA and psilocybin and DMT, what we see that happens in the brain in the immediate aftermath of these sessions is that the brain has the neuroplasticity of like a 3 or 4 year old child, right? So most of us have kids, I think, here. You see the little ones running around. They're like sponges. We say they're like sponges, right? It's their brain growing and accessing all this new information. And so what these medicines do is allow us to kind of go back to that place. And so I had my own experiences with these medicines that were so transformational for me that it called me to service. And as I was called to service, I started to seek out other people in this community who had experienced healing like I had, and found out that some acquaintances of mine were starting one of the premier psychedelic research institutes. They had kept it kind of hush-hush, rightfully so. And then when they opened, I reached out and said, hey, I want to be an advocate for you. And, you know, I've experienced my own healing. Here's my story. You know, I was in Rotary at the time. I know that I was chairing the largest food bank. And I was like, hey, I'll just be an advocate to help reduce the taboo that comes along with some of this. So our focus at the Pearl now is hopefully bringing MDMA into legal status. There's some encouraging news there. We have our big gala event on Thursday where we have some of the luminaries of the psychedelic medicine world. So Rick Doblin is coming to speak. He's the head of MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. That's the organization that's worked for 40 years to bring these medicines into the mainstream through scientific research, data gathering, and then working with FDA. So it's really exciting work. It's challenging because it's a lot of fits and starts, and you know how transformational it can be. So when you hit a roadblock, it can be very frustrating because you know there's lives that could be saved if we could just get this thing over the finish line. So that's where we stand today.
Very cool. Yeah. Can I, you know, you mentioned the hurricane earlier, and you're coming up on an anniversary of it. What was one of the things as the community was going through the issues they were going through? What was one of the things that really impressed you and made you proud of the community which you lived in?
Gosh, there's so many. FEMA said to Asheville, to the city of Asheville, you are a model of how a community should respond and can respond to something like this. The amount of oneness, so the way that political and religious divisions just fell away. I mean, it happens when nobody can get clean water.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got to help each other. I know one woman stands out. Her name is Rebecca Todd, and she's a singer. She's on tour with a band called Dumpster Funk as their vocalist. I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with Dumpster Funk. In the aftermath, things you don't think about, right? Like until they're like on your doorstep. And, you know, this is kind of a messy subject, but she, you know, they started to realize that the retirement homes and these homes of people, especially the ones that were like Section 8 and things like that, without running water, how are they going to manage the waste, right? And so Rebecca had the great idea with a few others to create a bucket brigade. And they would load up every day those giant farm containers of water and go to each of these retirement homes and do, you know, fire lines of buckets just to get the toilets flushed in those, or, you know, just in the work that went into that, the physical work that went into that. And they don't know these people. Like, these aren't people, their grandma wasn't in there. Or whether it was just finding places for displaced people. Like, we were scrambling to get people replaced because whole communities were wiped. You know, look up Chimney Rock, North Carolina. That's a whole town that was just wiped off the map, you know. And so where do we put those people? My friend and, you know, client who reached out and said, Justin, I know you're on the board at the food bank. I'm worried about winter that's coming, right? So we had people living in campers and some people living in tents, you know, just a mile from my house. We had people, a whole trailer park that got washed away, and winter was bearing down on us, and these people are living in tents. Like, how do we keep them warm? And my friend said, you know, let's call Lowe's and let's see how many, you know, electrical space heaters and oil, you know, how many heaters can we get at a deep discount? And then we were just raising money. So I think what I'm most impressed by was people's ingenuity, right? Yeah. In solving the problems, like just running towards it. You know, there were two types of people. There were people that left town, and there were people that, you know, well, let's say three, people who stayed to help, and then people who were just, you know, lost everything. We're all like one degree removed from people, somebody who lost it all.
Yeah.
And if you have any sort of community in this area. And so to watch people just run towards helping each other and you know, damn all the stuff that divides us, because we're in this together.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. Community was able to rally and forget all the nonsense.
Big time. Yeah.
Well, running out of time, but I got a couple more questions for you. So if you had to share one piece of financial wisdom or life advice, I guess, that you'd leave with our audience today, what do you think that could be?
Don't ignore it. You know, it's easy to reschedule that financial planning meeting. As we know, as advisors, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot of work, right? And that's why we call it a partnership, because we're here on our end doing our side, but we've got to have that engagement from the client.
Yeah.
And I think if you can just commit to, again, pulling away the blinders, going ahead and diving in, I find more often than not, people are presented with a picture that, you know, when we provide that clarity, sometimes it's not as bad as they thought. It often can be a lot better than they thought. Or if it's not, hey, here's some steps we can take, right? Here's a clear path forward of what we can do to get you to that place. And so I think, you know, I'm not going to say start yesterday. That's impossible. But don't put it off. If you're thinking about working with a financial planner, you've got financial questions that you needed answers to, go ahead and make that call today.
Awesome. And I guess just to segue on that one, if they wanted to make that call today, just tell our audience and listeners in your area how they can contact you. And
you can contact me directly at 828-400-1971. You can email me at jpowell@fpiwealth.com. And you can also check out our collective website, which I think is really great, at financialpartnerinc.com, which really showcases our process and who our ideal clients are and our mission and our whys and our team. So,
awesome. Well, Justin, thank you very much. I know we're all excited to have you aboard.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you Monday at the Business Summit. So,
thanks, Travis, Corey. Great to see you, Scott and Adam. And I'll see you guys in Crystal Lake. Here in a couple weeks.
Here before we know it.
Yep. All right.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. And so thanks for joining us on the newest installment of the Bull Time Investor. See you next time. Take care.
Bye.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.